It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to another episode of the New American Dream radio show. I'm going to be on my own tonight, but Mike pre-recorded his segment so we can bring you the same format that you all know and love. Both of you. Well, I hope there's a few more than that. We'd like to welcome a new sponsor, the Spiritual UN. Just as Mike and I have a new American dream, the Spiritual UN has something they believe in. They think we fit pretty well, to which we can only say thank you, or perhaps my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you. Those were the immortal words of George M. Cohan as portrayed by Jimmy Cagney. Write in, tell us the movie that was from. You'll be eligible to win a signed copy of Johnny Moon, Mike Pelichek's new book. This giveaway replaces the one we tried last week because our contest was so hard, nobody wrote in. Well, we thought you guys would jump on the possibility of winning something, but apparently the questions were just a little too much. We're trying something a little easier this week. But I started to tell you about the Spiritual UN, and I wandered off the path somewhere. Their website is www.thespiritualun.org. And we hope you'll stop by and take a look at what they're doing. While you're over there, you can give them a thank you for sponsoring us. They're looking to get a few bucks, pretty much one at a time, to build a new headquarters building. And so if you have something little extra, toss it to them. They'll put it to good use. The Spiritual UN is based on a holistic world planetary paradigm that embraces the concept of a heart-centered human race for the best in all. Love is the affinity which links and draws together the elements of the world. Love, in fact, is the agent of universal synthesis. Visit the Spiritual UN today. We also welcome back World News Trust, our other sponsor. They continue to support our show, and they host our website, too. Visit World News Trust. That's worldnewstrust.com, all one word. And if you visit them, you'll get a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. And now at this point, where I'm going to hand you over to the pre-recorded segment from my friend and co-host, Mike Pelichek, an American writer.
Well, Chuck, tonight we welcome back Tom Stirner from Denver. Actually, he lives in Denver part time, but he's in California tonight. And we welcome a new guest, poet Greg Kosmicki from Omaha, and he runs the Backwaters Press. So we're coming to you tonight from Vancouver, Fort Lauderdale, Duluth, California, and Omaha. It's again time for the New American Dream Radio Show, the American Russian novel All We Need Is More Vodka Radio Hour. We have the winds of our own totalitarian society freezing the land solid, a tortured tundra. Those who have spoken the truth are no longer here, you may notice. Their chairs at the Thanksgiving adult big table are empty. Their relatives have sent them to Siberia with the roll of their eyes. Perhaps that's happened to you once or twice. So let us begin. Okay, here we go. Scooch up to the samovar. Maybe leave your hat and boots on. Fill your peasant hands with a warm drink and listen for the sound of hoofbeats on the ice. We have a dream of bringing the United States politicians, journalists, and generals who have brought about this long 10-year war and debacle to trial and put them on TV just like OJ every goddamn afternoon so every American can watch, just like the McCarthy hearings and the JFK funeral procession. What we need is a new American dream, not of new homes and toasters and microwaves, but of becoming the type of country we always thought we were. And part of that is becoming the quality of people who are capable of telling the truth. Right now we live on lies. We subsist on lies, but it's not really a living. The new American dream means never having to say some question or idea is not valid. We are allowed to ask any questions that we have. There are no wrong questions. There is no hidden black military budget. There are no UFO files Americans cannot see, no JFK documents that will not be open during our lifetimes, no destroyed RFK murder photos by the LA police, no evidence from Ground Zero taken away in trucks before we could even look at it. We are not the Soviet Union of the 1960s. This is supposed to be America. That is our dream, to become America, the new America, the real hope of the world. 9/11 was an inside job. Bush, Cheney, Rice, Powell, Rumsfeld, Ashcroft, Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden. You just know that they all know that, and yet they refuse to acknowledge what they know. They kill and continue to kill. They allow others to die and continue to send others to their deaths for a lie. And what we need in America is a truth commission like they had in South Africa to heal their broken country. Our country is surely broken as well. We need a truth commission. We need to put certain people on the stand, and we need to be allowed to ask questions. The troops are not protecting us. That is someone's spin on the day's news, somebody's advertising slogan, someone else's sermon. The troops serve the empire. They are not heroes. They kill and plunder for the empire. The heroes in our country are the protesters, the ones who go face to face with the empire, those who will begin to gather in Washington, D.C. on October 6th. You have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. He is complicit. He has lied. He has continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. He lied right to our faces on national TV when he said that Osama bin Laden had been killed and buried at sea. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Jessica Lynch was rescued heroically. The USA does not torture. Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. George Bush won the 2000 election. See, there's a plane there in that homeless Shanksville. It went all the way in that hole. No, there's no blood, no bodies, no luggage scattered or plane parts. And Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. Remember the anthrax letters which said, "Are you afraid?" Those were not written with a rocket chisel like Fred Flintstone from the recesses of some cave in Afghanistan. Those letters came from persons within our own government. Like a horror movie, and the killer is in the house with us still. Those killers are right here with us, and they want us to be afraid. But we cannot be afraid.
A belated shout-out tonight from the staff at the New American Dream Radio Hour to Barack Obama for his Nobel Peace Prize. Hey, way to go. We also see from the news ticker wire tonight that Jeffrey Dahmer has been awarded the Nobel Prize for Vegetarianism. Hey, way to go, Jeff. Let's see here. Nobel Prize for Parallel Parking goes to U.S. Monster Truck Association. And the Nobel Prize for Healthcare goes to the staff at Man vs. Food. Hey, way to go. In just a second. Oh, yes, the Nobel Prize for Comedy this year goes to Jay Leno. Hey, way to go, all this year's winners.
This message brought to you by the Boogeyman. The United States of America has a huge military and hundreds of bases around the world that the people were told for 50 years were needed exclusively to counter one enemy, communism. And now there aren't any communists anymore. The CIA needed to be so huge to counter the KGB, but there isn't any KGB anymore. The FBI needed to be so huge because the Reds were everywhere, even under our beds. But there aren't any Reds anymore. So we don't need the military and bases and CIA and FBI, right? Yes. No. There are terrorists everywhere. They attacked us on 9/11. And there are big bees from Mexico, and so there. We're going to still need most of your money.
Tom Stirner is a writer. He lives in Redding, California, and Arvada, Colorado, with wife Kathy. He's been published in magazines and on the internet. And his internet pseudonym is Word Wolf. That's with a U. Hey, Word Wolf, are you there?
Yeah. How are you?
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Good to be here.
Thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you have brought some writing for us to hear, some poems.
I certainly have.
Well, good. If I'd like you to just go ahead and read, and if you have some comments to go with them, throw those in too.
All right. You ready?
Sure.
This is Like a Tear. This was published in 2002 by Poetically Speaking. Face dark as silt, high water crashing, cascading down, yellow, white, red vein showing, tide rolls in smooth, liquid, saline blanket, lids blink, reveal eyes of mud, a white worm crawls through, falls across the cheek like a tear. Thick lips grimace, create a parody of a grin, teeth whiter than white, ivory columns, part, and a pink snake leaps out, seizes the falling morsel and bears it home like a tear, like a hostage, like a promise, protesting Genesis. The pearl white gates fall as the tide flows back, eyes slam shut, then open, yellow, white, vein broken, red blood drips down an ebony cheek of sand like a tear, like a river become man. Lightning arcs shiver, destroy the fabric of the sky. An insignificant mound of sand rises up, shouts curses unheeded to the heavens. Fear is born in the mud of its eyes. Thunder breaks, the man-thing falls down. It has come to pray, to be carried away, like a tear, like a promise of nations. And this is, I have one here that's more of a traditional rhyming thing called Whither Go Watching. When a final dance is over, I'll be holding up the wall with these eyes, a thousand candles, years passing down the hall. I see you in your soft gown, wings of eternal lace, in a pirouette never ending, your fall through the fingers of grace. When the last grave has been filled, I will stand me aside with my spade, bite down through layers of dust lost civilizations have made. I will kiss your skin through a candle, ashes and blood of your name, with lips of 10,000 lovers, God forsaken and soon to be slain. When the tide is a weeping of rivers, flames of face on the sand, I will shed my garment reveal, at last and for once who I am. Children awake in the forest, wander a garden of moon, sleep as earth is your cradle, held in a moment of loon. A short piece here called Situated Western, Saving Grace. I'm real, I'm human, but I'm no ordinary man, no, 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 Jim Morrison. Does a hellbound howl at you? Nietzsche. You haven't got long before you are all going to kill yourselves, Charles Manson. Thus I pacified Psyche and kissed her, Poe. Jesus is a bomb. Do you see him? Word Wolf. Western didn't wake up this morning. He stayed up drinking last night, him and me. I begin to wonder if Saturday morning head is worth the Friday night slaking of a thirst stacked up day to day during the week. Maybe I'm getting old. Maybe I've had enough. Western was funny last night, though. He had me laughing my ass off 1 minute and crying the next. He tells the funniest damn stories, then starts talking about his wife and kids. No matter what he's thinking or doing, his family is always a background conversation running through his mind. At least that's how he explained it to me. Man, was I pissed when they told me I was going to be stuck on this outpost with that crazy old man. He's 42, for Christ's sake. I didn't sign up in this man's army to babysit some guy with two of his fingers missing and a head full of rain. Now I know better. I'm just a dumbass kid. The old man covered my ass, even saved it a couple of times the past month or so here in no man's land. Last night, after we finished off the booze, Western hugged me, told me I was his saving grace, that hanging out with me was like spending time with one of his own sons. He made me promise that if anything happened to him over here, I'd go to his family and tell them everything was okay with him. His boys are around my age, and he's glad they're not here. I don't know what makes him think I could explain any of this shit to them, crazy old man. That's a hug I'll never forget. Western knew things and didn't mind showing once he tested your mettle and found you worthy of his teaching. I guess that was his gift. Knowing I don't know enough just might see me through this damn thing. I'm just a dumbass kid. Some desert dog shooting his ass off son of a bitch got a lucky round off last night. He'll never know he put a hole in a man better than himself, better than any of us, a hole just big enough for that man's life to leak away into the filthy sand of this bunker while I was sleeping off the whiskey night. I'm going to make it. I can do this. I'll hug his sons and weep with them. I need to do that. I hate this war that taught me how to love a man I didn't even like, then took him away from me. Guess I'm just a dumbass kid. Western didn't wake up this morning. This is a piece called Mirage. The principled father, mother of purity, absence of vanity, sincerity of purpose, all things humane, freedom at any cost, safety in numbers, glory in defeat, atonement of sin, pity as pacifier, normal assemblage, benevolence of royalty, holiness of priests, the erect politician, moral policeman, singular motive, best intentions, chaste kisses, government promise, lap of luxury, sincere beggar, sex for sex's sake, love for sex's sake, heaven's sake. Reconciled victim, rehabilitated rapist, whenever I'm sorry, love other than self, existence oases, a dignified death, sincere amnesty, this bears repetition. This bears repetition. This bears repetition. Art for art's sake. Man in God's image. Woman as reward. Honorific recognition. Original sin. Any reference to Aeon. Distance is love bait. I won't hurt you. And my dog doesn't bite. Obvious intentions. Light of day. Light of night. Wise men. Animals as speaking idiots other than human. Shared prosperity, faith in dervish, sanity of justice, welfare Cadillac, clean water, drug counselor, psychological awareness, social security, hope for the poor, foundation of family, driving on the telephone, Greenpeace, war on drugs, capital expenditures, common sense, lifetime warranty, satisfaction guaranteed, customer service, free rent, damage deposit, Christian forgiveness, the open sea, dumb animals, good guys and bad guys, them and us, clean living, winners and losers, a free ride, 1 square inch unpolluted, relief valve, escape key, any true witness other than chaos, normal behavior, square corners, outer limits, inner peace, immaculate conception, protective custody, around to it, acceptable losses, the flying man, death of gods, age of reason, missionary largesse, preventative medicine, innocent until, free will, human connection, mated for life, dominion, funereal disguise, breadwinners, non-combative personality, organized religion, a striving toward normalcy, process of elimination, running stool, amicable reconciliation, affordable housing, good drivers, critical mass, high priest, drug lord, dutiful wife, eclectic taste, the third breast, Idle Conversation, State of Unrest, State of Colorado, State of Being, Merciful Heaven, Absolution of Sin, War and Peace, Battle Mock-Up, Unadulterated Flesh, Season of Plenty, Life on Far Planets, this one in particular, Backup System, Angels and Hat Men, Ladies of the Night, Accidental Collusion, Intentional Chaos, Will to Power, Want to Shame, Acronymic Truth, Prison Politic, Unequivocal Device, Prayer Endings, Amen, Random Violence, Any Number of Senses, Innocence Lost, A Shovel Full of Eden, Plastered in Paris, Father is Bitch, Same Gender Parents, Man is God, Holy Remembrance, Holy Cow, Mythical Union, Forward Thinkers, Successful Committee, I Didn't Mean to, A Bad Seed, The Good Son, Overkill, Homing Pigeons, Christ on a Toothpick, Sincere Prostitute, Honest John, Solemn Oath. They sat in a circle, the two of them. Theirs was a shared awareness of nothing. Infinite possibilities, a vision of lords danced between them. Will of Creator, wisp of essence, incapable of boredom with some sense of humor, a combined energy was given birth the moment. Having no sense of entitlement, not only did they not name the child Time, it was loosed, allowed a will of its own. These of the circle yawned as their child adopted a spherical tone, wrapped itself in universe, mad inventions of its own. These created, made a terrible howling, and the parents, annoyed by the child's noisome toys, allowed the two-sided circle to close. Thus were erected the heir apparent and the errant parent. This spoiled child, angry and alone, playing in the blood of its mud, began to manufacture discontent and a creature whose image mirrored what it imagined it might be, given mortality and physical form. These chose to idolize themselves and porcelain gods in their image. The child Time swore a fury of vengeance upon these it had made, that they would wither away, face always a declining and decrepit flesh, hunger evermore for youth, as Time itself devoured all before and about them. Finally, each moment was named for this merciless master. The hollow spheres of its kingdom were erected temples, owned in the name given, the master, and that name was God, fidelity of flesh, unintentional idol, death after life. It goes on. I have a chat book here. Michael Annis calls them my little books. It says Reptiles and Dust. I'm going to read some out of here. There's 168, like 10-line parables in here, or terribles maybe. In some pastures, alfalfa, sweet scent of first love, and the death of reason, weight of passion, flower scent. Rolling in the haymow, old men on road trips, roll down the window and dream. Trouble with politicians, when their women demand new shoes, they are apt to ask what color, choose a nation, a people, name them enemy, steal their skin, walk first on, then in them, to hell with penny loafers. Let me go down here too. The danger in seeing lies in being seen. One's detractors and protectors capable of accidental ambush. All in all, a prison mentality, neighborhood and nation, sins of the dry snitch. They pervert our sensibilities, media and politicians, diddle themselves and each other, TV. There's a black hole in my life, altar of utter imperfection. This platform of their device is been and forever off. Tongue of serpent, a grotto mouth, iniquitous in all ways, come to burn David's children. She stands as proof of the day, power corrupts, no favor of gender. A lone violin, centuries know my name, the woman who came to couple my heat with desire. Between the cheek of her skin, her breast breathing in, we made music and set it afire. Only a human would pursue wisdom solely to pursue wisdom. Only would he, she, name it, perfidy, destroy what was made, invent gods in his, her likeness, call to arms, angels in the ground. All animals argue with themselves. Your skin fits you loose, like it is new, like it is made for someone else. Have you lived there very long? Is it possible you have dreamed? Are your fingers? Is your face a very temple indeed? Do you worship there? Are you a prisoner in a house of love? The hunger of lost angels lingers in the scars of your chains. I am almost Africa, rife with insidious disease, colonized and raped of century, set upon by lions, and my lions are all dyed, carried away on stiff trunk ivory, torn from the jaws of my giants. Robbed by millionaires, these poor continue to invest, unaffected by example, damned and double damned, to remain set upon by jackals, architects of anarchy, the American way. All great civilizations have rendered themselves useless upon the face of eternity, sacrificed their principles to corrupt genius. A false sense of superiority, insatiable desire to conquer. The best experiences are those which occur outside our awareness. Also, do they bring significance to memory, joy of discovery, sweet nougat of truth to every man, every day. All that lies within, I am, yet a stone cast amongst stones. It is not unusual for those seeking seclusion to achieve it through exclusion, though hardly with the head in mind. Choosing to opt out is just not the same as not being allowed in. The wind in the bottoms seems like it just scoops me out. We are not a sum total of our losses. We are the beauty of what's left. Welcome to the house of words. Strip your skin naked brain for a slither of serpents through. It's as simple as counting money.
Tom, thank you for being on the show tonight, and we'll have you again in another 2 or 3 months, and I hope next time that we will be able to hear the music that you wanted to put on tonight.
Good.
I appreciate your visiting with us, and we'll see you next time.
All right, Mike. Thanks.
You want to talk about things you can't talk to or talk about to anyone else? You can talk from the privacy of your own home, your own bedroom, your own garage. You can talk to someone who cares. You can get intimate, down and dirty. Phone intelligence. You tired of talking about stupid shit? Is there nobody in your home or at the office or in the cell block who really gets it? You live in Nebraska? Are you dying, melding, silently screaming for some intelligent conversation? You can call us. Haul out that big, long, multisyllabic honker. We've seen lots of big words. Phone intelligence. We get it. We don't scrunch our noses and tilt our heads like cats looking at bugs on the screen when you quote a line from Bill Hicks. We're waiting right here just for you. You're not alone, baby. Not tonight.
Box cutters, cave dwellers, jet fuel bringing down steel structures. They hate us because of our freedoms. Anyone who's not with us is against us. Osama bin Laden has been buried at sea. The CIA is known as the company. CIA agents are called assets. The CIA, for the past 60-some years, 70 years, has killed, murdered, cheated, lied, duped, fooled, and disrupted anyone working anywhere for fairness for the poor. The CIA is the arm of American business. President John F. Kennedy saw this and said he was going to dismantle the CIA. They killed him, and then they fooled you, all of us. And we pay for the CIA with our tax dollars. We sit next to assets at church. We do not storm the CIA building and tear it down brick by brick. Box cutters, cave dwellers, Osama bin Laden confessing on some tape somebody said somebody found somewhere. Anthrax. Barack Obama elected. George Bush elected. Paul Wellstone's plane has crashed in a forest. Robert Kennedy murdered, never became president. Martin Luther King murdered, never brought poor people to occupy Washington, demand justice for the poor, taking money out of the pockets of the rich. It's all the CIA. Happy 10th anniversary, CIA, of your greatest achievement. Poverty is not the problem, it is the solution. The business of America is business. The CIA. The fist of American business for over 70 years. Apple pie, Chevrolet, baseball, grandma, and the CIA.
Greg Kosmicki is a poet and social worker living in Omaha, Nebraska. also the editor and publisher of the Backwaters Press. And his poetry has been published in Paris Review, New Letters, oh, a whole long list here. And we're pleased to welcome Greg to the show. This is the first time that he's joined us. Greg, hello.
Hi, Mike.
I'm Chuck, Mike. Actually.
Chuck.
That's okay.
Hi, Chuck.
Hi. Hi, Greg.
Whoever you are.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, if you would, and then we hope to hear some poems.
Well, I work as a social worker in the state of Nebraska, and in my spare time, I run the Backwaters Press, and I also write poems and publish them in magazines, and. I'm sad to say I'm not quite as active as I used to be in the anti-war movement, just mainly because I've taken on so many other responsibilities, writing and running the press, but still follow your website and stay involved that way. So, what I'd like to read today are some poems by other poets who have written on the war theme, and then some poems from a little chapbook of mine titled When There Wasn't Any War.
Sounds good.
Okay. Shall I just start out?
Yeah, just go for
okay.
it. And, you know, you've got about 10 minutes to read some poems, and then we'll visit a little bit after that.
Okay. The first poem I'd like to read is got a Latin title. It's called Dulce et Decorum Est. Comes from a Roman saying that it's right and just to die for your country, and that's the last line of the poem, Dulce et Decorum Est pro patria mori. And the poet is Wilfred Owen, who was killed in World War I in the trenches. Dulce et Decorum Est. Bent double, like old beggars under sacks, knock-kneed, coughing like hags, we cursed through sludge, till on the haunting flares we turned our backs, and toward our distant rest began to trudge. Men marched to sleep. Many had lost their boots but limped on, bloodshod. All went lame, all blind, drunk with fatigue, deaf even to the hoots of tired, outstripped 5-9s that dropped behind. Gas, gas, quick, boys! An ecstasy of fumbling, fitting the clumsy helmets just in time. But someone still was yelling out and stumbling, and floundering like a man in fire or lime. Dim through the misty panes and thick green light, as under a green sea, I saw him drowning. In all my dreams, before my helpless sight, he plunges at me, guttering, choking, drowning. If in some smothering dream you too could pace behind the wagon that we flung him in, and watch the white eyes writhing in his face, his hanging face like a devil sick of sin. If you could hear at every jolt the blood come gurgling from the froth-corrupted lungs, obscene as cancer, bitter as the cud of vile, incurable sores on innocent tongues, my friend, you would not tell with such high zest to children ardent for some desperate glory, the old lie, Dulce et Decorum Est pro patria mori. And I'd like to read a couple poems by the famous American poet E.E. Cummings. I think everybody knows E.E. Cummings. The first one is entitled "Next to America, Next to God, Next to, of course, God, America, I." Next to, of course, God, America, I loved your land to the pilgrims and so forth. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early, my country tis of centuries come and go and are no more what of it? We should worry in every language, even deaf and dumb. They say, thy sons acclaim your glorious name by gory, by gosh, by gee, by gum. Why talk of beauty? What could be more beautiful than these heroic, happy dead who rushed like lions to the roaring slaughter? They did not stop to think. They died instead. Then shall the voices of liberty be mute. He spoke and drank rapidly a glass of water. I sing of Olaf glad and big is the next poem. Can we say the F word on the radio or not?
Sure.
Huh? Well, I'll go ahead and say it, and then if you guys get shot, you know why.
We're internet radio.
I sing of Olaf glad and big. Huh? Whose warmest heart recoiled at war, a conscientious objector. His well-beloved colonel, Trig West Pointer, most succinctly bred, took Aaron Olaf soon in hand, but though an host of overjoyed noncoms first knocking on the head him, do through icy waters roll, that helplessness which others stroke with brushes recently employed anent this muddy toilet bowl, while kindred intellects evoke allegiance per blunt instruments, Olaf, being to all intents a corpse and wanting any rag upon what God unto him gave, responds, without getting annoyed, I will not kiss your fucking flag. Straightway the silver bird looked grave, departing hurriedly to shave. But, though all kinds of officers, a yearning nation's blue-eyed pride, their passive prey did kick and curse, until for wear their clarion voices and boots were much the worse, and egged the first-class privates on his rectum wickedly to tease by means of skillfully applied bayonets roasted with hot with heat. Olaf, upon what were once knees, does almost ceaselessly repeat, there is some shit I will not eat. Our president, being of which assertions duly informed, threw the yellow son of a bitch in the dungeon where he died. Christ of his mercy infinite, I pray to see, and Olaf too, preponderatingly, because, unless statistics lie, he was more brave than me, more blonde than you. And I better switch over to my poems. I was going to read a couple others, but this is from a little chapbook I had published in 1989. The first poem I'll read is called A Short History of Western Civilization. First, the good guys beat the bad guys. Then the bad guys beat the good guys. But the good guys were strong. They had God on their side, and they rose up and beat the bad guys. Then the bad guys beat the good guys. Then most people left over got smallpox. Then the good guys beat the bad guys. Most people starved during this. Then the bad guys rose up. They had God on their side. They were strong. They beat the good guys. But the good guys had God too, so they beat the bad guys. Then half the people left over died of plague. The bad guys wouldn't learn. They beat the good guys again. Then the good guys beat the bad guys. The people that remained starved. Then the bad guys beat the good guys. Then the good guys got the upper hand and stomped the bad guys. Then the people left over died of famine. Then it was yesterday. Then it was tomorrow. A certain poor coffee farmer who lived in a certain poor country in South America one day was out picking his few coffee beans for the day when an American television crew came piling into the front yard of his humble brick and tin house. All six of his chickens scattered to the far corners of the yard, his wife stopped pumping water at the well, and the children ran over to her and hid behind her skirts. A TV crew jumped out of the truck and the director began shouting directions. Soon, the portable generator was cranking out thousands of volts of electricity a second, more than the farmer would use in his lifetime if a rural electrification program were started today by his country, which wasn't likely. And the bright lights the television crew had set up made the farmer start to sweat. The crew rushed around and filmed as many cassettes of stuff as they could, the groves, the mountains, the picturesque cut. Then they chop-chop, packed their gear back into their trucks, and a helicopter plopped out of the sky into the yard, scaring the pig as well as the chickens and the farmer and his family, and flew off with the director. Then the prop men folded up the fences and the hut and disassembled the bushes and the yard. They tried to fold up the farmer and his family, but they wouldn't fold. I'll read.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'll read two more poems.
Very good.
Is entitled Giving Mark a Bath. He asks, where does the wizard live? Are there bad wolves around here? No, they make those things they make up to scare little boys. They aren't real. Gets out of the tub, slender, not quite 4, blonde, skinny, pretty, shining, wonderful eyes. I wrap the towel around his shoulders. Then I see it as him, running down the streets, naked, no place to hide, terror, the missiles dropping. I am nowhere, no help. He who knew everything, who had all the answers. And the last poem I'll read is My Flag. It is after dinner, and I go to shake the crumbs from the tablecloth. They fall down onto the porch steps for the crickets and the mice and ants. We live in a great country. There is enough for all. The tablecloth unfurls lightly on the held breath of the still fall night air, and it seems to me to be like a flag with the blue stripe all around the border and the blue stripe enclosing the field at center, a field which encloses some flowers but could not hold in even all the flowers, since some of them have escaped and drifted as on water or toward the bright blue border. It is the flag of the friendly country where even the vermin have enough to eat. And I'm waving it to you. I want you to come and join me and my family. I want you to sit at my table and have bread and lasagna with us so we can talk about the war and the taxes. I want you to help me shake crumbs on the porch. I want to wash it and iron it and fold it safely, to place it gently and with respect in the drawer for our next dinner, when we will not have marched under any other flag. For I know you could not be a traitor to me. We will all be so insanely happy. We had not yet had to die for any cause. I want you to spill your wine. I want you to get your breadcrumbs on my flag. And that's it.
Well, thank you very much, Greg. A very interesting selections, both yours and the ones from other people. Tell us a little bit about the Backwaters Press, if you would. It's, how long has it been around?
The Backwaters Press was, I founded it in 1997, mm-hmm. and we're approaching our 100th book.
Wow.
And yeah, we've done quite a few. Mostly it's up until the last few years, it's been just me, and then I started recruiting a few volunteers and got incorporated as a nonprofit 501c3 about 3 years ago. So we've started I got a board now to help me make decisions and help give us some direction. So we published David Ray, who you guys had on a couple weeks ago, published his collected poems. And my secret mission with it is to try and raise the consciousness of people so that they're thinking about other things than killing and that kind of stuff. But I don't tell anybody that because people who might donate money usually are sometimes politically the other direction. So,
uh-huh.
You know.
Well, that sounds interesting. You know, I've done some publishing on my own. That's why I'm especially interested in that aspect. So maybe sometime we can talk about that.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on the show tonight, and I hope you'll visit with us again in 2 or 3 months.
You're welcome, and thanks for all the stuff you guys are doing with getting the word out. So it's really important.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot. All right.
Bye-bye.
And now for our ninth grade first period civics moment. Please follow along as I read from page 1 of our textbook, Democracy in America, to change things, because we are a free and open society, unlike so many others. Write your congressman, vote, or if you really want to go out on the ledge, march in a large, peaceful protest. If you don't participate, you have no right to complain. But because you may someday realize these things are useless, you will have to find some extracurricular way to ever actually participate in the running of this country. And let's just say that perhaps by some extraordinary happenstance of money or talent or circumstance, you might actually find you have a voice. That is where your biggest decision will be made. Either shut up and live the good American life or persist in your selfish pursuits. And if you become powerful enough to actually change things and continue to persist in your childish notion of democracy, someone will shoot you between the eyes or in the back of the head, and we will speak no more about you. Now please stand quietly next to your desks for the Pledge of Allegiance.
9/11, anthrax, Bush, Cheney, Tom Clancy, wars, depression, toasters, automatic garage door openers. It's all there in The Hunt for Fred October. Fred October, he's the man in the gray flannel suit, the man who ignored the world in order to build a home in the suburbs, get ahead in his job, and raise his family. And now, it's too late, and his children now want to kill him. He let it all happen. He could have stopped it, but he had a pressing business meeting, a golf game. There'll be plane crashes. Boom! Tense computer screen scenes, searching for passwords to Google vital information. Tick, 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 tock, tock. And train explosions. Pow! Car chases and crashes. Screech, bam! And a sexy bar scene in low light. Ooh la la! He's Fred. Fred October. The man who said, better rich than red, and his kids want him dead. Fred October, the man in the gray flannel suit, coming to movie screens everywhere this fall in October.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Democratic candidate Joe Coffey went to speak to a group of Democrats. Joe got up and saw himself in slow motion walking up the steps to the crowd's applause. He wished for a railing, reached the shiny wood stage, and headed for the podium safe haven. His shoes clicked on the wood stage floor. Coffey felt the presence of the people at the long folding table on his left and the sea of upturned faces on his right. He shook the MC's hand and moved toward the blonde wood podium. Joe placed his papers, adjusted the mic, and looked up to his right where Jane would be, but saw only dark shadows under the balcony overhang area. Well, hello. He tapped the mic. Is this on? He smiled. My wife and I, Jane, she's back over there somewhere. Jane must have stood and waved because some of the others applauded and waved to her. Well, I remember driving through Yankton, South Dakota, Joe continued. It was a time of tragedy for my wife and I, a time of great personal struggle and uncertainty. I think we were on our way to the Black Hills. I don't think we ever got there. Joe adjusted the microphone and grabbed the sides of the podium as he had seen the governor do. We stopped at a motel and watched the Tiananmen Square crisis unfold on the television. It was also a time of the destruction of the Berlin Wall, the release of Mandela, and later the election of Clinton. Joe began to make eye contact as he read his speech. Along with others, I hope for the better, for a peace dividend in the United States that would give hope to the poor. It never came. Those in places of power who make money from military procurement could breathe a sigh of relief that it was deemed prudent that the United States military remain unnaturally strong. My sister in Columbus, with 8 children to raise on her own, could find a way to get by, our leader said. The military contractors would not have to. We have schools at Mount Liberty, Mount Carl, Mount Dorothy, and Mount Jennifer, all around the district that need fixing. We have made staff cuts at our school. Many school boards are making the same sorts of heart-wrenching decisions for lack of money. Joe looked up, surprised the people were listening. And yet we continue to build state and federal prisons at a rapid rate. The United States incarcerates a higher percentage of its population than any nation on earth. State governments invariably spend more on prisons and jails than on colleges and universities. Joe looked up and over and saw that Jane was standing in front of her seat with one arm wrapped around the post in front of her, watching with rapt attention.
When I went to my first newspaper interview in Mount Brittany, the reporter said my ideas were out there. At least he knew that's what his readers would think. I know what he meant, but nothing great is accomplished without ideals, without dreams, without putting forth proposals that at first seem really out there. And it's not failure, but a low aim that's the crime. It's a mistake to regard idealism as a sentimental weakness. Joe put a touch of bass to his voice. He heard his voice going out. He knew where he was, but willed himself not to think about it. Those quotes from the early Wilson era, when providing for the poor while seeking to limit the reach of the rich and powerful, were talked about openly. Today, liberal is a swear word. Joe looked at his audience and paused. He shifted his feet, then put pressure on his hands on the sides of the podium, a portion of his brain imagining the podium pitching forward into the crowd. The real obscenity is the way political parties and politicians will stick their fingers into the air to check the wind and then sprint in that direction. I'm a Democrat because John Kennedy was a Democrat. My mother and father were Catholics and Democrats. Well, actually, my dad was a Catholic and Democrat because my mom was. That's the way it works many times. Party affiliation passed across the breakfast table. On my first day ever of school, my kindergarten teacher, Miss Cole, wrote in gigantic yellow flaky letters on the blackboard, the size of that neon signboard on Times Square, President John F. Kennedy. Then we prayed for Kennedy in our third grade classroom with Sister Ellen on the day he was shot. For that day, we thought the world was nice. The presidents were perfect. The people in leadership had our best interests in mind. Since that time, we found out different. But the ideal remains. The governor, seated below, leaned to whisper something to the other candidate, Joe's opponent, who in turn told it right to whisper to his wife, who laughed out loud and looked up at Joe Coffey. I did not choose to run because I suddenly felt qualified. I just realized that I wished politicians, newspaper reporters, and news anchors talked about issues the way I wanted them to be talked about, as if they thought we had a brain in our head. Jane cheered with half a dozen others in the audience. She had not seen Joe's speech because she demanded he write it himself. Nobody comes around and asks you if you want to bomb Iraq or Kosovo or Afghanistan, whether you want 30 new federal prisons built this year. Nobody asks you if you want your son forced to sign up for military induction. Nobody asks you. So sometimes you just have to tell them how you feel.
The state Democratic Party chairman leaned across the table to the county Democratic Party chair. Where did you get this fool? He asked. The county chair shrugged his shoulders. Joe continued. Another reporter asked me what I thought about health care and Social Security. I said I did not know. She said I had to know. I said I did not. Social Security, Medicare, minimum wage, those are all important issues. The environment, immigration, all very important. There are 30 other important issues we could name, but until we come to grips with our idolatry of the military, the rest is secondary. Joe watched as the state chairman loudly pushed his chair back to stand and walk down the steps, up the aisle and out the door. Joe began his next sentence. Reporters asked me why I'm running. Well, do you remember way back, just after the Columbine tragedy, President Clinton asked our young people to find nonviolent ways to solve their problems. Well, that was while Clinton and the rest of us adults were bombing Yugoslavia every morning, afternoon, and night. Our children are watching us every step we take, and they are down there low with the perspective to be able to really see which direction we go. Joe began to speak slower, responding to a note he had scribbled in the margin. Go slow, stupid.
As he read, a voice told him he could do this. This administration is dominated and directed by wealth and for the accumulation of wealth. I believe that democracy has so far disappeared in the United States that no two evils exist. There's but one evil party with two names. It will be elected, despite all I can do or say. That's W.E.B. Du Bois, co-founder of the NAACP, in 1956, saying why he would not vote. Many now take that option. We need to have variety, choice, and fire for democracy to work. The governor excused himself. waited for his wife to stand, and then waved to the crowd as they walked up the aisle. The governor shook hands as he made his way up the middle aisle. "I think it's important and healthy to have at least one nobody in this race, and I claim that distinction. Because going around to get signatures, you can see the disgust on some people's faces the moment you say Democrat or Congress or running for office. They're frustrated with the process, because it should be more open. If I can be up here, you can be up here too. We should be excited about the process, not resigned to its ultimate uselessness." The governor passed the maintenance man standing in the doorway, deciding to make the governor walk around him. A few delegates made their way to the side aisle to catch the governor with a request before he departed. Two reporters with camera bags slung over their shoulders, who'd been leaning against the far wall taking notes as Joe spoke, flapped their notebooks closed and hurried to get a last photo and quote from the governor. "It's true that you almost have to be a contract lawyer to figure out the difference between the Democrat and Republican parties. It shouldn't be that way. Politicians want to say nice things, the right things, in order to get elected. Then, when we get in, we'll really shake things up," we whisper. "Well, you can see what Clinton did. He bailed out. You can see what Obama did."
Someone groaned in the mid-left section of the crowd. Joe noticed movements around him, a general impatience for his speech to be over. If there was a reason to impeach President Clinton, it was not sex under an antique desk. It was the bombing of Iraq, continued bombing of Iraq, and the continued sanctions against Iraq, costing millions of lives, many of them children. It was the welfare reform bill that underlined our disdain for the poor. It was the 1996 crime bill that allocated $8 billion for new prisons. It was the attack and slaughter of the Branch Davidians at Waco. It was the murder of Randy Weaver's wife and son. It was the bombing of Afghanistan and Sudan in the summer of 1998. It was his continued support for the drug war and the use of the death penalty. A few people applauded. Others rustled paper. And we can agree that the crimes and omissions of the Obama administration are too obvious to have to run down point by point. Assorted coughs caused Joe to look up. Jane's loud clapping echoed. Joe stood on one leg and turned over his last page to find the rest of his speech. "With all due respect, the standard Democratic platform is as boring as washing paint dry and just as useful. As the song goes, you have to sing like you don't need the money." Joe looked up, expecting applause or a chuckle. "Our children expect, they just assume that this is a good world," Joe tried to speak slowly and louder. "We owe it to them and to the child within ourselves not to give up on that ideal too soon. Thank you."
Joe turned right to shake the MC's hand, but the committee man had sneaked in around on the left, was already speaking into the microphone to organize lunch break. Some people clapped for Joe. Others turned to look at the clock on the balcony. Others leaned over seats and aisles to make lunch plans. A clipboard banged against the seat. Joe heard Jane clapping as he watched the steps so that he could descend from the stage. He thought of Rocky, blinded in the middle of the ring, screaming, "Adrian! Adrian!" And he hurried, leaning up the aisle toward Jane, who was holding their coats and papers. "I think we'd better get out of here," she said, handing Joe his coat. Joe followed Jane through the auditorium doors, trying to find his sleeves with his arms. They pushed into the hall, now brimming with people. Jane and Joe hugged the shiny brown bricks of the near wall. Jane helped Joe with his coat. He thought people stared at them. "Damn this thick, downy, fluffy shit." "Let's go," she said. "The door's right here. Our car's right there." "Why so fast?" said Joe. He looked around, counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 9. 9 people staring at them. "Somebody might like to talk, visit, discuss issues, policy," he said to Jane. "I don't know," she said. "I don't think so. I'm not feeling good." She grabbed his arm and pulled him along by the sleeve to follow her. Joe followed, looking over his shoulder at his admirers as he caught the hand off of the glass door from Jane. She picked up the pace as they hit the sidewalk. Joe pranced over the wet spots with his head down. She jumped into the driver's side of the van, hit the button to unlock Joe's side. He opened it slowly and watched a line of men and women fall out the middle school double doors. "Get in," Jane commanded. She hit the button locking all the car doors as Joe reached for his seatbelt. Jane pulled down to reverse and looked out the back window while Joe watched out the front. The group had grown to a dozen, a loose circle standing in silence. All heads turned to watch Jane curl into the street. Joe waved as they left. The eyes of the crowd followed like a trick portrait. The state chairman and county chair held styrofoam cups and stood in their shirt sleeves. They looked at each other as Joe waved. Jane pulled to the stop sign. She slowed, looked one way, then gunned into the intersection. "Hey," Joe shouted, grabbing his door handle. "They wanted to kill you," she yelled over the sound of the radio. "What? Yeah? Well, so? And that's a reason to leave? Just because some people didn't like what I said. I think a lot of them did like it." Jane accelerated through the yellow on Main Street. Joe clutched his door and looked both ways. She swerved into Casey's and found an empty stall. In one motion, she switched off the engine and turned to Joe. She swiveled in her seat. "They wanted to kill you." She waited. They stared at each other. "I heard them. That one guy and the governor standing by me. They didn't know who I was, obviously. I was leaning against that pole, facing away. They didn't think I could hear." "They were angry?" Joe felt hurt. "At me? About what?" "Well," he began to page through his speech on his lap. "But, well, okay. That's who I am. They understand. They're politicians. They know how things are, right?" "They understand that you're a threat," said Jane. "You're not their boy. This is serious business to them." "What did they say, Joe?" "They said kill?" "Well, no. Maybe not." Jane cast a glance out the back window. "No, not like that." "So how do you know?" pleaded Joe. Jane straightened in her seat. "I guess I don't." She leaned forward to start the van, then twisted her neck to see back out.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, Lutheran, 10 a.m. service ushers are about average.
And that wraps up another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again, same time, same place, next week. Stay tuned for Lenosonic and Black Op Radio, right here, just following this show. And we'd like to thank the Spiritual UN and World News Trust for sponsoring our show. And, well, so long, Mike, in absentia. Thank you.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.